CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are here, we are live. It is Wednesday morning. We've got Simpiwe and we've got Lebo and we've got me and you. Lebo, we watched you getting sun-kissed there as the sun came round.
Yeah.
On the other side.
Yeah, I recently moved into a new place.
Oh, nice.
Literally got like, I don't know how nice it is. It's an old apartment, so I'm in Ilovo now.
Mm-hmm.
And literally like the entire... The one side is just windows.
Wow.
So when the sun comes in, it comes into the whole space.
Well, it'll stop you from sleeping late, that's for sure. All right, so we've got a lot of comments about what you said just now about ads, and I think we'll talk about that because clearly it's something that people feel very strongly about. But before we get to that, I just want to remind you that we have a series called Beyond Madness where we investigate what it's like for people to deal with all kinds of psychiatric problems. We've got Professor Christopher Paul Szabo and a range of really interesting guests. Now, this week's episode may interest you. Do you ever walk into a room and wonder what you're doing there, forget where you've put things? And if this gets serious and you're doing this all the time, you may just have a condition which needs a psychiatrist, psychologist, might need some help, it might need some medication. You know what I'm talking about. It's not just a like harmless forgetfulness. It could be a serious problem. It could be that you're not remembering things. And in the latest episode of Beyond Madness, we investigate what it's like for people who are living with dementia. So Professor Chris Szabo will speak to a specialist psychiatrist called Dr. Ryan Fuller. He'll also speak to Bev Cohen, who run a support group for the families of people affected by dementia. You can listen to Beyond Madness wherever you get your podcasts, in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, or the sponsors of Brave. So go and take a listen to the new episode of Beyond Madness, really uncovering some pretty amazing and interesting things on those various shows. Go and take a look at them on whichever podcast server you are on, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything else. All right. So a few people have come in with what they want to say about this. Dogozo says, I do not want to see ads at all. Sean says, I want to rate the ads because some are really good. Parallel Parking says, everyone who went woke must now go broke, Netflix included. Carl says,
whoa.
Carl says, do not use the phrase lived experience. When I hear that, I don't take anything else you say seriously. It does seem like those
are
buzzwords. Well, because that's become such a buzzword, and it's and it, particularly when the politicians start using it as a way to explain away statistics or the reality of, you know, what actual research brings you, as opposed to someone's lived experience, which is their truth, which everybody's so up to here with, because it just means nothing. It means zero. It means you can change your mind about your lived experience on a minute-by-minute basis, and it doesn't have any validity in science, right?
Well, I don't think that everything that we do has to be so scientifically rigid, right? Because this is all about how people feel and perceive things. And as a marketer, that's my job. I have to understand that.
Yes, but
so if my customer is saying, this is my lived experience, I can't say, well, that's bollocks. This is actually how things are. And that is the culture in a lot of countries and companies where they say, well, we don't care. You don't know what your lived experience is. We're going to tell you what
you want. Yeah, but who cares?
We're going to tell you what to do.
But who else except you cares about your lived experience? I mean, the
people
truth.
People who want to sell you things.
No. I don't think so. They, you know, the fact is, like, I don't really care how much you care about me. I need your product for X, Y, and Z reason. I think if, for example, you need an electric blanket, I don't want the company who makes electric blankets to care about my lived experience. Just make an electric blanket that isn't going to set me on fire, and I'm happy with that.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. What is your definition of lived experience? When you say lived experience, what do you mean?
I mean, I don't know the answer, because the people who use that term, and I'm not one of them, have different answers. And that's the whole point, is that there's no way to zero in on anything useful. It's purely subjective. So I may say lived experience is my story I tell myself about myself, right? And I think that's a fairly safe definition, but it doesn't help, because someone might be mentally ill. We just mentioned Beyond Madness. Someone might have no idea. You know, you get these rich people who feel sorry for themselves. Their lived experiences are, poor me. I don't have the Ferrari or the Lamborghini, but actually they've got a couple of R100,000 available to them at any given time in their bank account. You get poor people whose lived experiences, I am poor, and yet I'm going to get there. I'm going to make it. My lived experiences, this is just a bump in the road. I don't have everything I want now, but I'm going to get there. So the lived experience is very different. It doesn't help us. I agree with Carl.
For me, when I say lived experience, I mean literally, how am I living today? What does my life look like? So am I living in a shack? When I go out of that shack, do I encounter, I don't know, tsotsis, or do I see kids playing? Are they playing with, medical waste, or are they playing with toys? What is happening in my everyday life? How am I living? How do things unfold?
But Lebo, the point is that we can't know everyone else's lived experience. We don't have the space in our brains. We don't even have the space on a graph to be able to plot everyone's lived experience. So other than a subjective conversation, which you have to have one-on-one with everybody, there's no such thing as lived experience being helpful. It's like asking a million people how they feel today. Some will say, I feel good. Some will say, I feel bad. Some will say, I feel tired. It doesn't help even to a marketer, because unless you're doing that one-on-one and listening to every moaning, whining, crying, unhappy, bleating person on Twitter, you're never going to know where to take your brand anyway, because everyone is different. Everyone's experience is different.
You see, I completely disagree with you, because that's why you're seeing people like Jeff Bezos putting so much money into listening tools that are literally curating and individualizing that experience that the one person has. So they care about, when John wakes up, what kind of coffee is he drinking? When he steps out of his house, what does he see? Which route does he take to work? And the companies that are putting more money into listening to the individual customer are the ones that are seeing really great rewards in terms of their share price, in terms of their growth. So the market is moving into a place where we care about the one person. It's no longer about a group. You don't group people. You care about the one person. And then there's certain things you can use to kind of validate that experience in a commercial sense. So it is if Cindy's stepping out of her house and what she sees are, I don't know, Ferraris. And this makes her think of going to a high-end store to buy whatever. Those are all little touch points that marketers use to say, how do I advertise to this person in those moments so that I can actually get them to go to those places that they're being influenced about by seeing these little triggers in society? So it's not necessarily about, are you sad or are you happy? It is, what are you seeing around you, and how does that make you feel in the sense of what you want to do next? What is the call to action when you see something? What is it driving you to do? And that's what we mean by lived experience. So you can take things like your LSM and all of those things.
But what if,
and
what
we're
if,
actually taking,
I don't disagree with any of that. In fact, I think you make way more sense than most of the marketers I've ever spoken to. When it comes down to it, it's not about demographics. It's not about, how much you have, whether you've got a microwave, because that's how they measure that stuff. And it's nonsense. It's like, it's more important to have people's psychographics, but that's hard to plot if you're trying to, because remember, you are marketing still to people. And if everybody is so different, unless they're opting in to the machine that's listening to them, and if they're not opting in, then that's the same as that call I was talking about from Telkom that I get twice a day, then it's going to put you off and it's going to annoy you. And frankly, do I want a bunch of marketers knowing me that well? Probably not. I mean, Simpiwe, you're smiling. What do you think?
I want to ask Lebu when she talks about like the lived experience, because it feels like you kind of generalizing an experience. You know, we all wake up in the morning, either take a taxi or you get into a car, and then, you know, we look at those different touch points. And with that, it's like you guys then will kind of tell a story that feels personalized. So when I hear it, I'm like, oh, you're talking to me. And then when Gareth hears it, it's like, this is definitely a message for me, but it's very generalized, like this lived experience. It's a very, big umbrella. And then everybody hears it kind of.
It's become a catchphrase. I think maybe that's what Carl and I are rebelling against, is not the idea of marketing to the individual, which is powerful. But it's this idea that lived experience gets dropped into the conversation, and we're meant to take that as seriously as we take science or as we take research.
Look, if you're going to have a conversation, for example, about activism, etc., I think people do use the term lived experience a little bit recklessly, right? But for me, as a marketer, and the way I see the word, it makes complete sense, because it is about personalizing the customer's experience. It's not emotional to me. It's not about me caring about how you really feel or like your life problems. I don't really care unless there is a way I can help the brands I work with. You know, build a relationship with you, achieve their objectives. Honestly, it's commercial. It's a commercial thing. And the catchphrases matter because all of us have different understandings, right? So when we speak about things, we do need certain words that allow us to come to some form of understanding or to start some kind of conversation. So we might not always get it right, but I think it's important for us to just have some of those things so that they can guide us through a conversation.
I love Parallel Parking's comment here. Simpue's eyes tell everything, single thing that she's thinking about what people say. It's so funny. She cannot hide a thought. Yeah. It's one of the reasons we like Simpue to test stuff for us. All right. We've got lots of other things to get to this morning. And I did want to quickly refer, since we're talking about marketing, to something else that Lebo wanted to bring into the conversation. And it is this. I'm just going to put it up on the screen and we'll explain what it is in a second. But this is a pair of Balenciaga shoes.
What?
And they look like dirty, screwed up, messed up, rubbish dump shoes. They've got bits of paint, they've got mud, they've got filth, the laces are gone on the one. It's an actual ad from Balenciaga. And there's someone who tweeted here and said, Balenciaga releasing a new pair of shoes. I have to assume that they're just trolling people at this point. What do you think's going on there, Lebo? You found this. What is happening here?
Unpopular opinion, but what Balenciaga is doing is, I think, firstly, testing the market, testing how people see the world and what they're willing to spend their money on. How valuable is your social validation to you? You know, and how far will you go to validate yourself socially and show yourself in a different kind of social standing? But also, funnily enough, in a noisy world, we're living in a noisy world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much advertising, there's so much brand messaging, there's a whole lot going on. And I think a lot of brands are trying to find ways to truly stand out. And not only that, but to get people online to generate the conversations that they want people to have about their products. Because if you look at different trends and you see how brands have been growing in the past 5 years, the brands that get people to talk about them are the ones who sell more and grow brand more than the brands who say, this is who we are, here are our billboards, come to our fashion show. It's really all about what people are saying about you. So a campaign like this has that shock horror effect that gets people to speak about you.
But do you think
whether
people,
it's
do you think
negative
there are,
or positive
do you
brand
think,
sentiment,
do you think there are people
matter.
Dumb enough to buy these shoes?
Absolutely. It makes a big statement. This is a moment in history. And if you're somebody who cares about this and you want to say, I participated in this moment, you're going to buy the shoe. I would buy it.
I'm going to say this is why people hate marketers. I'm going to say this is precisely the example of why people hate marketers and why advertising doesn't work as well as it did before. Because when you look at that, that's obviously shit. And they're playing with you. This is maybe a way for marketers to separate the dumb from the clever, or to separate the people who will do anything for attention from the people who won't.
Yeah.
But I mean, Simpiwe, please help me with this, because I'm not seeing what Lebo's seeing here, and I feel like I'm missing something.
Lebo, I don't know what you're seeing. Maybe you're seeing a pair of shoes that look all sorts of gorgeous, but I'm just like, this is 5'2" being looking like a hobo, and it's almost like romanticizing this poverty look. But oh no, it cost me, you know, 20,000. It goes back to the chat that we're having yesterday about like this Gucci and Adidas umbrella that's not waterproof. It's like, wait, what? And then you're spending so much money on this thing just for looks. No, I don't understand that. And also, what happened to just looking decent? I'm all for brands, you know, releasing a new range every season that's different, that's out there. You know, we had Couture and it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's a bit wild, but it still looks decent. Those shoes is just hobo. It screams hobo. And then you want me to leave the house. Imagine me walking into a meeting and I was like, hi, Gareth, I'm Simp here and I'm here for a job. And then he looks at my shoes and he's like, Chief, it doesn't look like you can afford yourself right now. What? No.
Or even worse. I mean, Simpiwe, I hate to say it, but you sound like an old traditional person there. But I will say this, and I'm not criticizing you because I'm the same. But I will say this, like maybe
those shoes have holes.
Maybe it's also really insulting because I think that rich people who would wear a pair of shoes like that are kind of thumbing their noses at the poor. It's like when you see the Met Gala and all of these people are walking around in these fancy outfits that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the staff have to wear their masks and wear uniforms and hang in the background. It's like those people who buy a bottle of, you know, 10,000 rand champagne and spray it over all the people who don't have the 10,000 rand champagne. It's like you're thumbing your nose at people. You're making fun of the poor. You're saying, I'm rich, and we're saying, F you. Is there a part of that to it?
Look, I think it's up to interpretation, right? And different things will mean different things to people. So a lot of the time what people don't understand about fashion is it's supposed to make a statement. And that statement isn't a fixed one. So people are supposed to feel something and have something to say about what they're seeing. It's not about whether the fashion is wrong or right. It's about the fact that it exists and people are talking about it. And I think Balenciaga as a brand is the kind of brand that wants to incorporate street culture with high-end fashion. That's what they said they do. And that's why I'm saying I would buy the shoes, but I wouldn't wear them. I just put them there to say there was a time in history when this happened. You know, it would be a collector's item. It wouldn't be something I wear. And so I think we're all different. And also, Simpiwe was talking about being decent and et cetera, et cetera. But what does that mean? Because decency is different to different people. And so, you know, and even the whole poverty thing is, so what we can't, Yeezys have holes, you know, they, all these clothes that used to be uncool back in the day, the ripped jerseys with the holes, they also look like hobo jerseys, but now they're very cool. Why weren't people upset when that was happening? You know, so I appreciate the fact that it started a conversation that we should be having, not just about fashion, but about wealth and people.
This isn't new though, because in art, you know, in art, there are people who will, they'll put, a stain of like urine, of piss on the wall. And they'll say, well, we're going to sell this for $100,000 and some idiot will buy it.
But why is people are we that reactive as well? Like, it's a conversation I was having with somebody on another podcast, and they were saying to me, Twitter's so toxic, people are mean. And I said, but you're the one who's dialing into the toxic conversations as well.
Right.
You don't need to, right? So if you really think what Balenciaga is doing is so terrible, why not just ignore it? Because we are making them relevant. They've only made 100 pairs of the shoe, and it's already sold out on pre-order. They have not actually manufactured the shoes. So we validated the stuff that they've done, this nonsense product that they've made. We made it have higher value. In fact, that's why I buy it as a collector's item, because I know 10 years from now, I could sell it for so much more. You know, so we also as people need to be responsible and say, what do we give our attention to? Who are we making relevant? And then why are we upset when they actually reap the rewards of the relevance we give them?
Yeah, fair enough.
That's
fair enough. Look, I mean, I don't, I saw a little clip on, I think it was on Instagram, of the Balenciaga fashion show. It came up in my feed just because it was, obviously it was ridiculous. I don't follow fashion, but this came up because it was in a humor category where they've got these people covered head to toe in like spandex or whatever. You can't even see their faces, and they're walking like they're mechanical almost. And it's the ugliest clothing and it's the ugliest fashion show. And everyone in the audience is like pretending this is perfectly normal. I've never met a more stupid group of people, and I use that word reservedly for most situations, than the fashion people who sit in the front rows at these shows and pretend this is a terribly serious thing. There may well be a market for this, and I don't disagree with you, Lebo. You're the expert in this, and I'm happy for you to be putting me and Simpiwe in our place when we're wrong. But I think watching that, it's almost like a parody. Like, you do have to, again, refer to the tweet that you sent us. And I have to agree with the guy who said this. You have to assume that they're just trolling at this point. There's a bit of that, too, going on, right?
There is a bit of that, because that's how you create that shock and horror effect, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it works. That's why you find that the people who are the most relevant on Twitter are the ones who say the stupidest things mm-hmm. a lot of the time, mm-hmm. because that's how you get people to react. So you do have to troll people.
Right.
If you want them to react to something.
No, that's how it works. I don't disagree at all on that. And I think that this is fascinating. I mean, listen, we're talking about it now. So whether we think it's ridiculous or we think it's hugely important, the fact is, like, you brought this to the conversation, and I'm glad you did. And the comment section is on fire. People arguing, fighting with each other. I mean, Pakamani says, Balenciaga is simply starting conversations and, in my opinion, gathering insights and validating whatever hypothesis they build around these new designs. Interesting point of view. Jake says, you won't be able to ignore Balenciaga because of their stature. Huge corporations have the power to dictate how markets work. Smaller retailers will follow suit.
Yes, absolutely.
That's my issue. That's my issue right there. It's one thing that there's a pair of shoes or 100 pairs of shoes that cost 100,000 rand that you know you're not going to see all day, every day. Next minute, the smaller retailers, they're also getting lookalikes and, you know, the knockoffs. And before you know it, everybody is looking like a hobo. And we've normalized that. And it's like, wait, no, why are we normalizing the fact that you're arriving to work with holes in your shoes? Like, that's what I mean about looking decent. Like, wait.
Can I throw a spanner in the works here? I this is honestly coming from a place of privilege. I can't say that I was ever poor and I took taxis, whatever. You know, I grew up privileged, so I'm grateful for that. But in engaging with different kinds of people, I've heard people say, you know, starting work, so going into the workforce as a young South African is really difficult because we have to take out credit just to get clothes that look a certain way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're saying that the poor aesthetic is unacceptable and it's not something we should be seeing. But at the same time, we're saying, oh, but the poor have so much pressure on them to show up in ways they can't afford. So why don't we normalize just showing up in any way that you can?
You can say
because we're supporting poverty
That's an interesting way to look at it. Like, we're normalizing, you know, a poor look. But I don't see it that way. I see it almost as mocking. It's like, I think we're making fun of someone who actually has shoes that look like that, and those are their only shoes. And for Balenciaga and for the Kardashians and for a whole lot of other assholes in LA that are trying to, they're gonna hide under what you've just said. I don't think that's what you believe, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna hide under that, saying, "Oh no, we're just trying to normalize the poor look or whatever." It's so patronizing. Poor people aren't watching the Balenciaga fashion show. And if they are, they're probably looking at that going, those people do not know what shoes like that have been through to look like that. Yeah. I do. I've just thrown away my last pair because I can't wear them anymore. They are ruined. And I just think it's like a little bit tasteless. It's really like rubbing someone's nose in their own poverty. And I don't think that that's an element of marketing or class or kindness or, you know, trying to normalize anything. I think it's actually just cruel. I think it's very, very mean.
And you see, Gareth, what you just spoke about there, talking about how the poor person would see it, is that lived experience thing I was talking about. So it's important for us to understand how other people live so that we understand when we're designing products and creating brands that they actually make sense and they're not offensive and they're not, you know, leading society in a way that we shouldn't be going. Because what people don't understand is that brands also create the moral consciousness of society. We also play a part in that, right? So how brass are we about poverty? How do we engage with others? What is the acceptable standard? What are we seeing online, offline, on billboards, on TV that's validating our behavior?
Hey, listen.
And that's a role that marketers
play. This is why I'm thrilled to have you on the show this morning. And I can't believe it's taken us this long to get you on here. But Sanela says, wow, good take, Gareth. Let's get Lebo on again. She's brilliant. Those shoes may auction for $100,000 in 2 decades. And can I just say again how gorgeous she is under that sun? So I think Sanelle's hitting on you. But there we go. Nice. Nice.
Gable, I have a question for you. And it's a topic that's been spoken about on the show, but I'd like to get your take on it. Is what are your thoughts on brands that hop on these trends, like these lived experience trends, this whole body positivity trends, if that's not what they're about? You know, you have... different brands for different things. Yes. And then Jiggy Jiggy, now they're all like, wow, woo, kumbaya, this is who we are. And you're like, but this is not you.
Do we believe them? Because sometimes that inauthenticity, I hear with Simpi, I'm with her on this too. It's like a lot of them just hop on the trend and you're like, I don't believe for a second you are into that stuff. You're just trying to get on the trend.
Yeah. You know, I think it's gross if it's done in a way that's not strategic. And I know a lot of the things that sound terrible, but literally I'm just coming from the commercial perspective of like business and how marketing fits into that. So I think it's gross if it's not done strategically because it means that they didn't think about it. So how does this tie into our company? How do we make it meaningful for what we stand for? Because I think that there is room in every company's strategy to stand for things that help others and to stand for causes that make sense. But you have to stand for it in a way that matters to you. You don't have to go full on in the way that everybody's going just because that's how they go into it. And sometimes maybe it's a braver decision to say, we are not educated enough or equipped enough to be part of this, but this is what we are doing as a brand, right? That's also helping other people, or that's also contributing to other movements that are making society a better place. So I think the people who aren't strategizing, who aren't saying in what we offer, how do we make this make sense for what we're doing? And they're just saying, okay, GBV is a thing now. And they'll just hop onto any GBV trend and then put their logo there. I think that's disgusting. And I think it's actually making them lose customers. And I think it's giving them negative brand sentiment. But I think for the brands that are saying, we don't know, teach us, or let's have a conversation, I think they are heading in the right direction.
So one last question for you, Lebo, because we're on this trend. So Spa came out with an announcement the other day that they don't want people coming into their store wearing sleepwear, because clearly people are going there in their dressing gowns and their slippers. Is this a trend, or is this just laziness?
I think laziness can also be a trend. and we're also seeing it in the fashion aesthetics of everything, right? So we are moving into the poorer aesthetic. And I think that can also be called a bit of a lazy aesthetic where, you know, wearing baggy jeans and baggy clothes and just looking tired and haggard is a very cool thing to look like. So honestly, it's a real trend, especially among the TikTokers, that generation, Gen Z. They're all about just looking like, I haven't bathed today. And that's what makes me cool.
It's because many of them don't actually have jobs. That's why they have all day to make a TikTok video.
Exactly. That's a controversial statement. But anyway, so I think Spa could have done more with that instead of telling people not to come to their stores and sleepwear. And I think that at least my understanding of the Spa brand is that they have a Jewish older customer base. They're very loyal to that group. Mm-hmm. And seeing the older ladies who shop there, and it's an experience for them, they come dressed to the nines. and I think they're protecting those people. And they're a small audience and they're loyal customers, but I think the world is moving in a different direction. And if they want to embrace the diversity that's happening in the areas that they're in, they need to be more creative about how they address that. I think they've gone about it the wrong way.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, this is a fascinating area of conversation, and it's something where I think you've made a lot of points that people agree with here and a lot of points that people are pushing back against. G-Star wants to know, anyone seen Ricky Gervais's Netflix special? It just came out now. Ooh, are the woke trans activists freaking the fuck out? Well, we'll have to see. I must watch this, but I'm absolutely sure that he'll be pushing the boundaries, just like Dave Chappelle did. And that, by the way, that guy who ran onto the stage when Dave Chappelle was performing at the Hollywood Bowl, turns out he says he was triggered by one of Dave Chappelle's jokes because he's bisexual or whatever. He also said something around how Dave should run some of his material by people in those communities. I mean, clearly this guy doesn't understand how comedy works, because comedians don't go out and get their stuff approved like marketing people, you know. And if this is what this guy thinks comedy is, maybe comedy's not for him. But I don't think Dave Chappelle has to run his material by anybody. He's going to take a chance. You shouldn't run onto the stage and expect not to be punched in the face. That's more the truth.
Well, I mean, Gareth, I agree with you as well, but we can also flip that onto the fashion brand conversation. Maybe you don't understand fashion. Maybe there are people who don't understand fashion.
I don't.
If they understood
I admit
they
it.
They wouldn't need.
Thank
you
God.
Know what I mean?
Thank God we've got you on the show this morning, because otherwise I wouldn't have even known how to spell Balenciaga.
but what I'm saying is, every industry has its standards. Every industry has a way that it works.
Sure.
And those who are not fully invested in the industry won't understand why certain things are happening, and they will think it's stupid.
Right.
You know, I don't necessarily enjoy comedy. I think it tends to be incredibly insensitive. But I also understand that you can't be a reactive human being. The power of the customer is in how they react. So you have to treat your reaction like gold.
I just want to throw this caution in there.
I want to throw this in
and just say, like, if advertising had more humor in it, it might be more effective.
And I disagree.
But with that said, in terms of this guy attacking Chappelle, it's like, you've heard his material before, right?
No.
You kind of know, like, how he pushes the line. So for me, it's like, then you shouldn't have bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Don't pitch up.
He bought a ticket so he could make it all about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah, and then you're gonna get mad.
His lived experience is more important than everyone who's paid money to come and watch Dave Chappelle make you laugh. And this is the point.
Yes.
Ultimately, those people are going to get punched in the face because they don't think about anyone else. It's all about me, my lived experience, my upset, my triggering, and Dave Chappelle and his security team are going to beat your ass. And that's probably what you deserve. So I'm with Dave Chappelle on this one. We got to move on. So I've got somebody on the line who is dialing in from New York, which, I mean, it's late at night there at the moment. But I needed to talk to this guy because he's come up with a trivia board game that will test your knowledge about the pandemic and lockdown, because, you know, people are always coming up with new games, new ideas. So I think it's perfect that we've got Lebo here as well to take a listen to this. But welcome, Matthew Toboroff. Nice to have you on, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gareth. Thanks for having me.
Good. Nice to have you on all the way from New York. And thank you for staying up so late. I'm sorry that the time difference doesn't make it a little bit more pleasant for you. We're coming into the morning and you're only going into the deep depths of midnight, right?
No, I'm excited to be here. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Matthew, tell me about Citizen Outbreak, because we've got a couple of screenshots of some of the things going on here. But this is on Kickstarter, right? And you decided you're going to invent a board game. We've all been through the most incredible 2 years, 2.5 years almost, of being a human on planet Earth. It's been weird as hell. And we've got to have some kind of time capsule to be able to put all this into. One day we're going to laugh, hopefully. But there's lots of stuff that you could do to make a board game, to make a trivia game out of lockdown.
Well, there you go. And so, you know, like everybody, I was doing a lot of chatting on my different platforms with different friends, different categories of interest. And with one group, I was, other than my fiance, probably spending more time than anybody, virtually, be it. But going through every day, every hour, all the crazy stories and the crazy existence that was going on. And I stepped back and I said, you know, there's a game here. You know, and my buddy first thought I was joking. And then I did a little research into the category and we both got very excited. You know, to your point about a time capsule, you know, part of the idea was that there was just so much flying at us on a nonstop basis. You know, these crazy headlines that were coming out, the unprecedented, bizarre, you know, scary, funny, crazy things. And it was like, it got to a point where we were so numb to it. It was just like, we would be sending it like, what about this? What about that? And, you know, it took on a life of its own. So, you know, part of it was, they're just gonna move on, because part of the fascination was, wait a second, yesterday this was the most unprecedented, craziest thing of our time, and then today, like, that doesn't exist anymore. And then that even happened on, like, an hourly basis.
Right.
So there was this aspect of it, like, let's capture all this so that one day everybody can get together, reflect, and relate. Because human beings want to relate. They want to connect. You know, the other part of it, whether you were in, you know, New York City or Joburg or Pittsburgh or Paris, you know, everybody can relate about the toilet paper, the Purell, the, you know, the murder hornets, the crazy stuff. And, you know, that's good.
You know, you just said a couple of things that I'd already forgotten about that, right. You know, we were all smiling and nodding our heads. But do you remember the toilet paper thing? Simpiwe and Lebo, do you remember when people were going into the shops and buying, like, as much toilet paper as they could fit in a trolley? Why toilet paper? I mean, if you look back now, we are so dumb as humans. We do ridiculous, silly things when we feel threatened. And that toilet paper thing was a big part of the beginning of lockdown. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about the game itself. So is it already up and running? Can people go on to Kickstarter and buy one?
So this, you know, part of what this is really fun. So my partner, Rudy, who's a buddy of mine for 25 years, he's got a great daughter. She's 13. We gave her a concept of what we wanted. Mm-hmm. She did the artwork. Which we love. So yeah, we've been manufacturing small runs of the game for promotional and research products. Yours is going to be on the way. We've been implementing, wow, you know, gameplay, taking notes. There's two categories to the game. There's follow the science, which is trivia related to all things kind of public health, pandemic, more medicine, biology, and all things viral, which is all those crazy stories that may have streamed across your chat group, your social media feed, your headline at one point or another. We have a couple of fun cards in there.
All right. Why don't you ask us a few questions? This could be fun. Let's see, between me, Lebo, and Simpiwe, how many of these we can actually get. Give us a question there and let's go. Ask Simpiwe first. Let's go with her. She
wrote.
So okay. I'm going to go with all things viral for you first. So in March 2020, as the pandemic started to wreak havoc around the globe, to calm the nerves of humanity, 25 self-isolating celebrities shared a video montage of themselves singing this classic song. What is the name of this song? Is it A, Let It Be, B, I'll Stand By You, C, We Are the Champions, or D, Imagine?
I feel like celebrities would sing We Are Champions. I think that's up the alley.
No.
It was Wonder Woman was one of them. What's her name?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't sing Heal the World.
Right. So yeah. it was Imagine.
Yeah, it was Imagine.
All right, give Lebo a question. Let's see what she's got here.
Okay, so in the we'll go to the follow the science. So what is Spikevax?
I have absolutely no idea. I'm not even going to that.
What are the options?
A, an English heavy metal band made famous by a popular 1980s mockumentary. B, the process of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines releasing themselves into the human carrier. C, the brand name under which Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is sold. Or D, the official name given to the CDC's public outreach program created to encourage COVID-19 vaccination.
I'm just going to guess this. C.
Yes. Well, you did well.
Okay.
Is that correct? Wow.
That was a hard one, girl.
Well done.
But that's part of the game. So, I mean, you know, there is no great messenger in this whole thing because people did get so dug into different positions and whatever. So we wanted to have a lot of content in here that could run the gamut, right? Because there is stuff in here that's quick and easy that might not necessarily relate to me, but the 15-year-old, 16-year-old TikToker will love it and laugh because it was a viral moment. Then there's stuff that'll be a little bit more involved in terms of, you know, naming the brand name of the Moderna vaccine.
I'm just going to put this back up on the screen here. On the popular Netflix docuseries Tiger King, remember that?
Right.
What was the name of Joe Exotic's chief nemesis? Was it A, Ned Flanders, who's, well, it's a well-known name, B, Janie Bilkins, C, Carol Baskin, or D, Deborah Burks? Any guesses?
So I know it's a woman, and I know what she looks like. I think it's Carol.
That is correct. It is Carol Baskin. Am I right? That is the answer. Yeah, all right. There we go. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
It's such, I mean, I really think we could have a lot of fun with this. So you've got all kinds of other categories here as well. You've got booster.
Well, so the booster, so if you pick a booster card, you get two extra turns. And if you pick the dreaded lockdown card, you miss two turns.
Oh, wow.
So it's a trivia game. You take turns asking each other questions and answers. There's two categories. You mentioned Kickstarter. We're launching on Kickstarter, which is this wonderful website. You know, it's a marketplace that exists to give creative projects a way to get to market. And gaming, as I research the category, this is where games like mine launch. And there's a big universe of interest for it. And It's a wonderful thing because it's all about promoting community, the importance of community, self-expression, and entrepreneurialism, which are three tenets that me and my partner really are champions of.
So Freedom Fighter says, has this game been fact-checked? Because that was a big part of lockdown. So you've obviously fact-checked this, haven't you?
Yeah. So the info that's in here has been fact checked. We've sourced it from, you know, there's questions like spike facts, if you want to call that something that needs to be fact checked. It's been sourced properly. This isn't me trying to put my thumb on any scale. This is very much, you know, like I said, so there's different editions of the game. There's the standard Kickstarter edition, which has 125 questions in each category. Then you have the Hoarder Pack edition, which is 50 extra questions. And then you have the Stockpile edition, which is 100 extra trivia questions. So there's a lot of content.
So can we go and buy it right now? If you want to go onto Kickstarter and you want to play this game, you can go and buy it right now.
Well, you're going to get yours soon in the mail. You're not going to have to go buy one, Gareth. But this is going to be launching on Kickstarter. We're planning to do this hopefully within the next month.
Okay.
And people can go on Kickstarter. Like I said, Kickstarter, because of the basic, you know, that's this universe really, it's the natural launching pad for a game like this. That I want to do it exclusively there first. And then we will have, everybody will be able to, but the game is built, as I showed you, and you'll see the game has been manufactured. We've been improving it, fact-checking as much as we can, making sure that we're not being irresponsible in what we put out there and that we're achieving the stated mission. And I can say happily, you know, watching you three laugh and smile and kind of think through and remember, that's what we're doing. And that's what we're hoping to provide, a fun way to connect and relate through all these shared experiences through one of the craziest, I don't know, during my lifetime.
Periods of human history. Listen, I love it, Matthew, and I'm just blown away by how little I actually remember, and then suddenly it all comes back. It all comes back to me. I mean, it's only 2.5 years ago, but it feels like ages
it's
ago.
Wild.
And there's so much stuff we've forgotten. So if you really want to relive the ups and downs of the last 2.5 years, this is a great game to play. It's called Citizen Outbreak. You can find out more on citizenoutbreak.com. And our guest this morning, Matthew Tobaroff, it's great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Gareth, thank you very much. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Matthew. You too. I hope you get some sleep. It is like 1 a.m. in New York or something. So nice to have him on the show this morning. Hey, Lebo, this is fun, right? I mean, we may go into more lockdowns in the future. We'll need some games to play.
True. I can't wait. I actually want to buy the game. It's made me feel smarter than I am because my guesses have been right.
Yeah.
So I want to play it and test it out with some people.
We should maybe...
I'm just ready to say, I'm ready to use that. In my time, there was lockdown. Yeah. in, Matt.
One day.
I'm ready.
One day we are going to be the old people who sit. In my time, there were Balenciaga shoes that they tried to sell us. But I think we should maybe do a South African version where we can have Cyril looking for his iPad. We can have the Woolworths chickens, the open toe shoes. You remember, we can have Zwelin Mkhize stealing money with digital vibes. We can have all of that stuff.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I think we need a game like that.
Yeah, we actually just need a section in that game. Corruption, you know?
PPE scandals. That's what we need.
Yeah. And then we just test you on how well are you equipped with corruption in SA, and boom. Yeah. It's a bestseller.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. All right. Well, we got a couple of seconds left of some other things. I just want to throw some of the stuff that Simpiwe wanted to bring in here. We were talking the other day about Wordle and what a big deal Wordle is. Are people still playing Wordle? Because I fell off that cart a long while ago. I played for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe nonstop. And then I just lost interest and I haven't been on it since. Are people still playing it?
I have no idea. I know I've given up, and everybody else that I've, you know, roped in has also been like, oh, dog, I missed one day and I never came back.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things. And then I like occasionally see one or two people tweet and I'm like, oh, I got the word of the day, and I don't even care anymore. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Bye. So, I don't know. Like, Lebo, were you ever into Wordle? Were you obsessed? Did you get into this cult of finding the word for the day and then boom, shaka boom, it's done?
No, so I mean, I've been observing. I've read about Wordle and its origins and why it's such a big deal, but I never actually hopped onto the trend, just because I'm all trended out. You know, I need some time. I need a break. I literally just want to be a person who like can take walks and look at leaves and just enjoy life for what it is. So I've actually been trying to disconnect from a lot of these things. I'll inform myself, but I don't participate.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not a great example either.
It's struck out.
Let me just throw this in here quickly, because this is what some people say social media has come to. And we talk about influencers, which Lebo brought up earlier. I got this in the email. Girls be like, goodness. I know, look at this girl. Girls be like, just woke up with messy hair and no makeup. You got to love the skin you're in. Hashtag natural.
What?
And there's this hideous, hideous looking woman who looks like she's been photoshopped to death and filtered to death. And ain't that the truth? I mean, Lebo, there's a lot of fake bullshit going on out there, right?
Look, Gareth, and I love tying things together, because I think as people, we don't understand how connected society is and how we all play a part in what we see. So we were speaking about lies earlier on, and we were saying, should we be telling people the truth or should we be lying about certain things, you know? And I think when we see pictures like this of women saying, I just woke up, I look, you know, this is how I woke up, but they look literally like they put on makeup and they tried so hard, is validating the idea that we all know things aren't what they seem to be, but we wish they were, so we will accept what we are being shown. And it's the same with people lying to you about other things. You know the truth, but you want it to be something else. So you support the thing that says, perhaps it could be that could be the truth.
Mm.
And then you go on this really weird, like, wormhole of, like, chasing an unrealistic thing that will never be you. You start buying makeup. You start doing all these things. You start waking up early so you can look like you woke up like this, when we all know we don't wake up like that. But we'd rather support the content that says, I woke up like this, even though nobody does. So for me, it's a great, I think social media, what it does is it shows us how people really are. And we've never had a lens that has been so, I think, clear and so honest about, but this is what you guys actually like. You guys say this, but this is what you buy.
You're right.
You know, and so social media is really showing us who we are. It's a mirror.
That's exactly right. So you can't hate on it, because actually that is a reflection of humanity. That's where we are at the moment. And for many people, it is about the truth. And for many people, it's the lies. You know, again, it's going to boil down to how they feel about the world and how the world feels about them. And I'm going to say the words, lived experience, whether you like them or not, right?
The word of the day is lived experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lebo, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and I loved some of your points of view here. I think you've said a lot of things that people are going to be thinking about for the next few days, and it's great to have you on, and I hope we see you again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Simpiwe, Gareth. I had so much fun. Early mornings are not my thing, but this was worth it. So yeah. Thank you for having me, and no. I hope I'll be back.
It takes a brave human being to get up at 5 in the morning in the middle of winter and to join us on the show while it's still dark, especially when there's the threat of load shedding just on the horizon. So I appreciate it very much. Nice to see you, and thanks very much, Lebo. We'll get you on soon.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about Lebo, we will post all of her details and all of her links on cliffcentral.com, so you can go and follow her and you can check out what she's doing, because I mean there's someone who's got lots to say and some very interesting points of view. She's got her own podcast too, so it's always good to have other fellow podcasters on as we try to expand the whole world of podcasting and try to get more and more people into it. One last thing quickly. I think maybe some people are still thinking about Wordle. Here's a comment from Carl. He says, "I still play Wordle every day as my eyes open. It's the first thing Carl does every morning." Okay.
Okay.
See?
Nice, Carl. Shout out to you.
He's the last one.
Yeah. Tell us the day you give up, Carl. Then we know it's dead. The day you are like, I'm over this.
Yeah, when Carl
stops, we have to hop onto a new trend.
When Carl stops, then we all have officially finished. All right, I love this.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent Wednesday and enjoy the rest of your day. Ciao. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.